Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a moonlit jungle style Reese Transform workflow in Ableton Live 12, and we're going beyond just making a bass patch sound thick and solo. We're designing a repeatable system, something you can actually use across an entire drum and bass arrangement, to move from eerie and wide, to focused and snarling, to dark and impact ready, without losing control. That's the real goal here. In Dark DNB, the bass should feel alive, but it also has to be disciplined. It needs to work with the kick and snare, hold up in mono, and evolve over time so the track doesn't feel static. So think of this as sound design plus workflow design. First, let's set the mindset. Don't treat the Reese like one single preset. Treat it like a system. You want one safe version that can carry the groove and one wild version that can punch through for fills, transitions, and drop moments. That idea alone will make your productions more musical and more manageable. So let's start clean. Create a new MIDI track and load an instrument rack. Inside that rack, put Waveatable as your core synth. You could use Analog too, but Waveatable gives us a very flexible starting point. After the synth, add Utility, then Saturator, then EQ8, then Auto Filter, then Chorus Ensemble. If you want extra bite later, you can add Glue Compressor or Roar, but for now let's stay focused on the core chain. A basic chain might look like this in your mind. Synth, then Tone Shaping, then Motion, then Final Control. That order matters. You want to build the tone first, then sculpt it, then animate it. Now program the actual Reese. In Waveatable, use two saw waves. Set oscillator 1 to a saw, and oscillator 2 to a saw as well. Detune oscillator 2 slightly against oscillator 1. We're not going crazy here. Start with a small detune amount, something in the range of about 5 to 12 cents. If you want a little more movement, fine-tune one oscillator just slightly down. Keep it simple and focused. This is important. Do not overbuild the sound at the beginning. A lot of people try to make the patch huge immediately, and then they run out of room to transform it later. We want headroom for evolution. Set the voice mode to mono, and if you want slides, enable legato. Use a short glide if needed, something subtle, around 20 to 60 milliseconds. That gives the bass a bit of fluid motion without turning it into a wobble. Now let's talk about the low end, because this is where a lot of DNB patches go wrong. Your Reese should not be responsible for everything. In a strong drum and bass mix, the sub should be stable, centered, and predictable. The Reese can provide the personality, but the sub should carry the weight. The safest method is to create a separate MIDI track with operator and a sine wave. Keep it mono, keep it clean, and let that track handle the true low end. If you want to split things inside one rack instead, that works too. You can build an audio effect rack with two chains. One chain is your sub support, with a low pass around 90 to 120 Hz and utility set to zero width. The other chain is your mid-Reese, with a high pass around that same point, and that chain gets all the movement, dirt, and width. This is a very practical DNB workflow, because it lets the sub stay dependable while the mid-range gets expressive. Now we start turning the plain Reese into something more moonlit and dangerous. Add saturator and push the drive somewhere around 3 to 8 dB to start. Use soft clip if needed. You're not trying to destroy the sound. You're trying to generate harmonics that help it cut through a dense mix and survive on smaller speakers. Think of saturation as adding visible edges to the waveform, not just loudness. Then move into auto filter. A low pass or band pass can both work, depending on the vibe. For this style, subtle movement is often more effective than huge sweeps. Try automating the cutoff between around 150 Hz and 2.5 kHz, with a resonance somewhere around 0.20 to 0.45. That gives you breathing room without making the sound whistle or become too acidic unless you want that deliberately. Next, let's deal with width, because Reese sounds live and die on stereo motion. Use Chorus Ensemble to thicken the patch. If you want a smeared, haunted feel, Ensemble mode is great. Keep the mix moderate, the rate slow, and the depth controlled. A starting point could be around 0.10 to 0.35 Hz for rate, 20 to 40% depth, and 10 to 30% mix. Enough to move, not enough to wreck the groove. Here's the rule: widen the top and mid character, not the sub. Keep the low layer mono. If you don't split the layers, then at least make sure the patch still behaves when summed to mono. Drop a utility at the end and toggle mono occasionally. If the bass collapses, you've gone too wide too early. Pull back the modulation and keep the important energy centered. Now we get into the part that makes this workflow truly powerful, macros. Inside the instrument rack, map the important controls to macros. I'd suggest sublevel, Reese detune, filter cutoff, filter resonance, drive, Karsa mount, stereo width, and tone or high cut. Once those are mapped, you've got performance control, you've got arrangement control, you've got transformation control. This is where the patch stops being a static sound and starts becoming a living instrument. The trick is to keep the ranges musical. Detune changes should be subtle. Cutoff can move more dramatically. Drive can rise for intensity peaks. Width can open up in fills and narrow down in the drop. You're basically creating a handful of states that can move the same core idea through the arrangement. Let's define those states. State 1 is your foundation, Rhys. This is the version for the main drop groove. It should be stable, fairly narrow, and lightly saturated. It's the version that does the actual job. State 2 is the moonlit transform. This is the more animated version. More detune, more chorus, more filter movement, more upper harmonic energy. This is what you use when the track needs to open up emotionally or build momentum. State 3 is the dark impact variation. This is the aggressive one. More drive, more resonance, maybe a short filter dip, or a pitch movement, something that gives you a hard transition or a call and response answer. Think of this as the version you save for punctuation. That role-based thinking is a huge pro move. One version holds weight, one speaks, one stabs. It makes arrangement decisions much easier because each patch has a job. Now let's add motion. Even stock Ableton devices can create a lot of life if you automate them well. Use slow cutoff automation over 4 or 8 bars. Add subtle resonance bumps before snare fills. Change width or drive at phrase endings. Sometimes even a tiny pitch dip before the drop can create a lot of tension. The point is to imply movement before the listener fully registers it. In jungle and dark DNB, bass doesn't just sit there. It talks to the breaks. It reacts to the drums. It feels embedded in the rhythm of the track, not pasted over it. Now sequence the bass musically. Don't write it like generic EDM. Think in offbeat stabs, syncopated long notes. Pick up notes into the one and little call and response moments with the snare. Leave room for the drums to breathe. A rolling 174 BPM line works best when the phrase is short and loopable, and when the rhythm stays memorable even as the tone evolves. A strong arrangement might look like this. Bars 1 through 8, foundation Rhys. Bars 9 through 16, introduce transform automation. Bars 17 through 24, bring in the dark impact variation. Bars 25 through 32, strip it back, then open the filter for lift. That kind of progression works really well in dark liquid, jungle tech, and deep rollers. Now let's talk mix discipline, because this is where good bass becomes great bass. The drums are the boss in DNB. Your bass has to make space for the kick and snare. Leave room around the kick's fundamental. Use sidechain compression if you need it, but don't overdo it. Keep the bass envelope disciplined. For the snare, make sure your Rhys isn't masking the crack around 180Hz to 3kHz. If the patch gets too mid-heavy, notch a little around that zone. Use EQ8 to clean up mud around 200 to 350Hz if needed, and tame harshness around 2 to 5 kHz if the bass starts biting too much. The goal is menacing, not fatiguing. Let's pause for a few classic mistakes to avoid. First, don't make the Rhys too wide too early. Wide sounds exciting in solo, but it can collapse in mono and blur the groove. Second, don't hide the sub inside a dirty stereo patch. Keep the sub stable and centered. Third, don't over-detune. Too much detune turns a focused Rhys into a seasick wobble. Fourth, be careful with saturation before cleanup. If you distort before shaping, you can create mud that's harder to fix. Fifth, don't ignore phrase automation. Even small changes in filter, drive, or width can make the arrangement feel alive. And sixth, always check mono. If the bass disappears when summed down, it's not ready for club translation. Now for some advanced variation ideas. Try splitting the Rhys into three frequency rolls: sub support, body layer, and edge layer. That gives you more control over intensity without wrecking the full tone. The sub stays pure and centered. The body layer carries the main character. The edge layer can be heavily processed, high-passed, and kept low in level, just enough to add aggression and presence. You can also map velocity to important parameters like filter cutoff, drive, or oscillator mix. That way, ghost notes and accents feel more expressive. Another useful move is saving scene-based macro positions. For example, tight and dry, open and haunted, aggressive and smeared. Then you can duplicate clips and automate between those positions across sections. You can even use pitch intervals for motion instead of just detune. A root plus octave can feel huge. Root plus fifth can feel powerful. Root plus minor second, used sparingly, can bring tension in fills. That gives the bass a more narrative character. And here's a great arrangement trick. Automate a reverse transform phrase. Instead of building energy up, you can reduce intensity over one or two bars by pulling down drive, narrowing width, closing the filter, and removing upper harmonics. That's perfect for pre-drop tension, breakdown tails, or call and response moments. For extra presence, you can duplicate the MIDI and add a very short high-pass transient layer. Keep it quiet and low velocity, so the bass speaks more clearly on smaller speakers. You can also experiment with asymmetrical distortion, where the sub stays clean, the body gets gentle saturation, and the top gets harsher clipping or wave-fold style grit. That layered asymmetry often sounds more organic than a single heavy distortion chain. One more production tip. Once the patch feels right, print it to audio. Resample it. Then chop it, reverse it, and bounce different macro states into new audio versions. That's where the sound starts to feel like a real musical element rather than just a synth patch.